Last week we talked about that great topic that everyone loves so much, right? Judge not, so you don't be judged, right? That's one of those great ones that we just had to talk about. And what was that really all about? Well, was it really about judging others? You know, Jesus had a couple things in mind, I think, as we read through the entire passage for us on that. And the judge not had a lot to do with condemnation. You know, he says, don't condemn others. That's what the first sentence was. Judge not so you don't be judged. That condemnation. Because there's only one who can condemn others, really, right? And who is that? Jesus. God. Actually, God. This is, Scripture says Jesus didn't come to condemn the world but to save it. But He's still the judge of it, right? God. In other words, don't put yourself in God's place. Because, you know, that never, ever, ever, ever works out too good for, well, the person that you're trying to help by judging them. I should say, help by judging them. And it also doesn't work out for the one doing the judging. It doesn't work out too well on that endeavor either. So that's part of it. But then, through the context of the rest of our passage from last week, where he's saying, you know, with the parable with the speck in your friend's eye and the log in your eye, it had to do with some self-reflection of judging others. It really had more to do with our judgment of others instead of our judgment against others. Properly judging their lives so that we can help them. And the way to properly do that is self-reflection, right? What's going on in your own life? Before we try to step into someone else's life. Make sure we don't have something the same going on in our lives, or worse, while we're trying to step in and judge or discern. Remember, if you don't like that word judge, we could use that word discernment in there too. That's what that was all about. Self-reflection, making sure we're making these decisions rightly. And then Jesus goes in and he says, you know, that last part that we talked about last week about don't give to the dogs what is holy. Don't throw your pearls to the pigs. All right? And this is Jesus telling us that, you know, sometimes you're going to have to move on. You know, the holy things of God, these great, great gifts of God that mean so much to us in our lives and have meant so much in our walk, in our faith walk, and also in our family, that we want to spread to others, that it's our job, our duty to spread to others. That's the Great Commission. Go. Go. Make disciples. Go and show them this. Then baptize them and then keep teaching them. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. All of that stuff. He said, but sometimes you need to, he says, stop throwing those great things of God towards people. People that are contemptful against these words of God and these great pearls of God. People who receive them in a negative way, or worse yet, turn them on you. I know some people going through that right now where their faith in God is being turned against them because of their deep faith. And it's being used as a negative against them. Say that he's not right in his head. Or she's got this, that can't, you know, that's all well and good for you. Or, you know, this kind of stuff. So then, how do we know when it's okay to stop trying to cast those pearls and cast those holy things to our friends and family or the stranger on the street that we've been trying to get through to? Or, how do we know when to keep going as well? You know, because there's two sides to that coin. Jesus says, you know, stop. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Sometimes we have to keep, you know, He does want us to try and try and try. It's not just a once, He didn't get it. Moving on. So how do we know when it's time to move on? Is it easy? Especially if it's somebody we care about? I think we left that off last week with wisdom. wisdom to make decisions like this. And how do we get that wisdom? Ask. Prayer. What? Why are you pointing at that, Avery? Yeah, ask. Okay. That's not a word. It is a word, but it's not a word. So let's see what our scripture takes us to this morning. We're still continuing. We're in Matthew 7. We're beginning at verse 7. And this is right after the casting your pearls before swine. Matthew 7, beginning at verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Do I not have this thing turned on? Yeah. Ask, seek, knock. It's as simple as that. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be open. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Exclamation point they have there. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Do you catch that? That asking, seeking, knocking. A-S-K. Is it really that easy? Is the question here too. A question, not the. We're going to have a lot of questions this morning. But that's one of the questions. Is it really that easy? All we have to do is ask. Famous, you know, one verse from James, right? You have not. Why? Because you ask not. There's way more to that verse than that. You know that? There's way, way more to that. From James 2, you have not because you ask not. But look what it actually from the verses around him says. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? Inner conflict. This can just be inside yourself, not just in the group of friends or family that you have. Conflict within yourselves. The passions are at war within you. Makes me think of Paul, you know, says, I keep doing the stuff that I don't want to do, and the stuff I want to do, I don't do it. It says, you desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Or you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. See, that's a true statement. You don't have because you don't ask. But that last one is just as important. You don't receive when you do ask because we ask in the wrong way. You desire something, so you murder. There's hate, there's schemes, there's all this other stuff in your life, this inner turmoil. You covet something, so you fight. There's conflict, turmoil, and war. So you don't ask, so you don't receive. You ask, but not in the right way. These are all heart issues. Jesus is still talking about heart issues. From the very beginning of this summer when we started going through his Sermon on the Mount till today and for the next couple weeks, it's all heart issues. So when we come to God to ask him things, where's our heart? How's our heart doing? That self-reflection that we talked about last week, making sure we get that log out of our eye so we can help our friends with just a little thing in his life. Self-reflection. When we come to the Lord's table to take the bread and to take the wine, to take the body and take the wine or the blood. Self-reflection before all of that. So we ask. And when we come before God to ask things of him, what are some things that are important to keep in mind? What is a key to a successful prayer life? To, you know, like, I don't want to say getting what you want from God, but, you know, praying in the right way, asking in the right way. What are some keys to that? The Lord's Prayer set a good example. How so? It's a great template for us, right? Given to us by a great author. You know, Jesus gave us that. Pray like this, he says. Yeah. How else? Give me some other ideas here. For successful prayer ventures. Anything? Have the right heart. Heart things. How about belief? How about belief? How about confidence? It says, and this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, oh, there's the one. And His will, the right heart, our heart's right with God. So 1 John 5:14-15 says, we have confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then whatever we ask, we know that we have that request that we've asked of Him. You know, basically, you know, we know that He's listening. We have to have confidence that He's listening. And that our things that we're asking are in His will. And He hears us. Because remember that thing said that the priorities were all wrong at the end of that verse that we were reading earlier. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. So confidence and power are important in our prayer lives. When we come before God to ask things, confidence from before. Now we have the prayer of a righteous person has great power in its working. Confession has great power in its working. Then James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith. So now we have to have faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. When you have confidence, when you have power, that belief and power, it keeps us from being tossed to and fro, as Paul says. And James says that we're like doubts, we're like out on the waves of the ocean. We don't have control over the ocean. Might suck you down, knock you over, might drift you all the way to this side before you even know where you're at. As we're hanging out in the ocean, right? And you realize how far you've drifted when you're just kind of out there hanging out. We need to have that firmness and that foundation through our faith, through confidence in God, and the power, knowing that He has the power. But you know what? We found out something Wednesday too in our Bible study, says that we have power. And a lot of us don't even realize how much power we have through the Holy Spirit in our lives. Not that we doubt it, it's just we don't realize how much of it we have. As Christina mentioned there, with the overwhelming of that thing on Wednesday night, with all those people came in. So Wednesday night, we had just gone through this, and we're like, we were thinking maybe a little too small. And then there was a passage, like in the chapter of the book that we're reading, that from this guy that was talking about, they had this goal of planting like 200 churches in 3 years and over in like Asia somewhere. And they did it in like 3 months. And then like in 6 months, they had like 300 and some. And he says, now I'm asking God to expand my vision. Because it's not that I lacked faith. I guess I lacked the vision of how powerful God really is when I come and ask Him stuff. Confidence. Power and boldness. Faith and belief. When we come before God and lay our prayers out to Him, do you really believe that He is listening? Because that is one of the key things, believing that He's listening. Do you really believe that He's going to answer you? Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Do you want to guess who said this? If I had it in here, it would be in the red letters. How hard is it to pray like this? It can be real hard sometimes because we don't live in that world. We live in this one. But we're not supposed to, because we're not citizens of this one anymore. But that one keeps kind of wanting to drag us back in. You can have a little bit of a belief, but you know, let's not get too crazy, Jake. Why are you waving at me? Hi. So belief, though, it is empowering. But doubt creeps in. And when we doubt God and His abilities, aren't we limiting God in our minds? That's what we're guilty of right there. Is you know, we put God in that box. Even though we say we're not or trying not to, but we don't really fully fathom what He can do. If you think something is too good to be true that we read or see in the Bible or something like that, or something, a desire that we want to do for the kingdom, if you think that is too good to be true, that these things can be going on, I guarantee you God is better than any of them. And if He's better than those, then what about our little limited minds and the stuff that we can think of? He helps on that. He says, expand your vision. Expand your belief in me. What gets in the way of this kind of belief that we have in our prayers? Pride. Sometimes it's, you know, lack of knowledge, but pride's a big thing here. Because if we're coming to Him without pride, we're supposed to come to Him in humility, humbleness. That means we're giving up control. He says, give it to me. I'll take it. I got it. Trust in me, believe in me, have confidence in what I'm going to do. Come along for the ride. I got work for you to do in all of this. But believe and get rid of that pride. So we need to come to Him in humility, knowing that we can't do this on our own. Knowing that some things are just too much for us to bear on our own. And so we humble ourselves and seek Him. There's the second one that we need to do. Seek Him. When you think of the word seek, can you think of a way to seek something without actually doing something? Does the word seek sound passive at all? Inactive? No, it's full of action. How can I seek something and not do anything? So he's like, the idea of seek and you will find, as Jesus mentions here in our scripture this morning, is pursuit. Pursue God. Keep seeking God. And everything we do. We come to Him in prayer, we ask these things, but you know what? He still has other things for us to do. In other words, we've got work to do. Seek Him as part of that work. Married folks in the room. Got a comparison here. Before you were married, before you were married, you have that wooing phase, right? That courting phase, or whatever you want to call it, of your relationship. Is there a level of pursuit in there? Janet's nodding her head. Did Rex pursue you? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah.
Got to be careful with this pursuit thing because it can get kind of creepy thing. But no, we're talking about... Yes, why? Because there's that desire. There's that, I want this person in my life. And you know what? When we pursue God, there's that same thing. Do you think God likes it when we pursue Him? Of course He does. Because you know what? He's busy pursuing us. Even though He's got us, right? I mean, those of us that are His, He still doesn't stop pursuing. And He doesn't stop pursuing those that aren't His yet, that He's using us to help pursue. Seeking is active. Seeking answers, seeking more depth, seeking more wisdom and knowledge of God. As I was thinking of seeking, besides the whole marriage thing, you know, I think of like archaeologists, you know, seeking for answers in like the dirt, trying to find things from thousands of years ago. They're out there digging up things and they're analyzing things. And according to Indiana Jones, 70% of that stuff is done in the library anyway. So you're still seeking and you're sitting in the library. It's in the movie, it's got to be true. So, you know, or criminal investigators seeking through crime scenes, no stone unturned, trying to find answers. Or your kids, mom, dad, why? Our kids don't do that so much anymore. They just go, gimme, no. But we have this seeking nature that God wants us to have. So as we seek Him, we're pursuing Him. It's active. And He loves it because that's one of His characteristics that He's passed on to us. He pursues us as well. So seek Him, get to know Him, work on your devotion to Him. You know, devotion isn't just a thing that we do in the morning with a couple verses of Scripture and then a passage that somebody wrote to try and explain it. You know, that's our devotion time. That's great. You know, you open up your daily bread and it's there for you. But that's a devotional. Devotion to God is a daily, hourly, minutely thing. Not minute. So seek Him in that devotion to Him. Just like you're married. We're called the bride of Christ. The body and bride. He uses that marital example, description, for a reason. Probably because of that pursuit thing. It's a two-way pursuit. And we gain a deeper relationship and understanding of God in that process. A deeper faith and a solid or more solid foundation. So that we're not swept to and fro by those oceans. And then knock. You know, a lot of times does it ever just feel like things just aren't happening? Even though I'm asking, and I'm seeking, I'm just not getting there. And He says, knock, and it'll be opened. Sometimes you got to beat down that door. You know, knock it on the door and say, God, I just don't understand. And sometimes it seems like that door is locked to us, but I want you to think about something here. At least there's a door. It's not a wall that you got to bust down. It's a door that's meant to be opened. Metaphorical door, but it's still a door. Jesus told us it's there. It's there. He wants to welcome us in. But there's some keys to this too. You know, God has plenty of patience, but that's not necessarily one of the gifts that most of us have got from Him on this whole thing. So sometimes when we ask and ask and ask, we're not finding. It's like we need to beat down the door and say, I'm still here. I still want to know. Help me. There's a great prayer for you. Sometimes we can feel like David in a lot of his psalms. So how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? You ever felt that way? I think we've all felt that way sometimes. My soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? How long, O Lord, will you look on? Rescue me from their destruction, my precious life from the lions. When life is just kind of, seems like it's falling apart around us. How long? Beating on the door. When you feel like you're at that door, like I said, I want you to think of a couple things here. Why is the door shut? Why is it shut in the first place? Are you asking the right questions? Is probably one of those things. You know, or in the right way. Are your requests about earthly desires? Or are they in tune with God's will? Could it be that you're just not quite ready for that door to be open yet? God's like, you still got some cooking to do. You're doing good, but a little bit more. You're not quite there yet. Sometimes it's that way. We need to realize that. That's part of that patience that a lot of us don't have, this guy included. It says, you know, and if so, he wants us to keep working. Persevere. There's a tough word there too. And that leads to character. You know, right from Romans. So remember that suffering produces endurance, perseverance. Suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope shall not put us to shame. Just persevere. Keep knocking at the door. Maybe you'll be like that widow in that parable of Jesus's, you know? So it kept coming to the judge, hey, I want justice, I want justice. And finally the judge goes, give it to her already. You know, sometimes is Jesus saying if we bug God enough on the right things, he'll give it to us already. Be ready for it when he does, though. There's a caveat behind everything. Remember also that doors can be closed from both sides. Is Jesus holding the door closed, or are we? Are you sure that God's the one that's got his hand on the door? Some self-reflection may be needed. More self-reflection. Ah, yikes. Self-reflection may be needed to see what's going on in your life, our lives. Maybe you need to go back to the beginning of this process. Back to the asking, the humbleness, the help me see part. And like I said, just remember at least there's a door and there's not a wall. And that there's a welcoming God on the other side. So ask. Ask, seek, knock. A-S-K. How does all this tie in with our judgment or our discussion about judging others? Because it's all one big long passage. How does this all tie in with that? Ask God. In your life, but during that self-reflection, during these things that we're trying to figure out in our own lives. Seek His answer, seek His will in this, especially if you're feeling like, is it time for me to move on? Seek Him in this. That wisdom, that trust, that confidence, that power even. Just remember that our Heavenly Father wants to do all three of these. For us. He wants to answer our questions. He's already pursuing us and others through us, and He wants to welcome us through that door. And if God wants to do all of these things for us, how do you think He wants us to treat others through all of this? Well, quite easy. Go back to the beginning. There. So whatever you wish that others would do for you, do also for them. What's that called? Golden rule. That's how. That's exactly how. If he wants to do all these things for us, this is what he has to say for us about pursuing others. You want to judge people? Are you willing to be judged by them? Do you want to help them see God for who and what He is? Are you willing to let them into your life as well? Do you want to bless them? Here's a tough one that a lot of us have. Are you willing to let them bless you? Because it's a two-way pursuit. Most of us are so hung up on wanting to do the work that was like, I'm good, thank you. Let them. Because that's a blessing to others as well. So this whole doing to others what you want them to do to you has so many nuances to it. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do to them. But whatever you wish others for others, let them wish that for you. God's love and pursuit of us is unconditional. Remember, while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. While these folks are yet unconnected to God, He still died for them too. It wasn't just for us, those chosen few. It's for all of us. God's pursuit of us is unconditional, and He expects the same from us towards His lost sheep. Ask, seek, and knock. Find the answers, and He'll help you with this too. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this reminder this morning of asking. Just asking help from You and how to do that properly. On our faces in humbleness before You. Getting our pride out of the way. Getting ourselves out of the way. And just focusing on You, that time with You, and seeing what Your will is for us. As we earnestly, and I pray that word is accurate, earnestly seek You, help us endure those times of seeking and those times of waiting as we persevere. So, Father, we just ask that You help us on this. That we have good judgment. We have wisdom from You. We have that discernment in our lives of what is right, what is wrong, and what Your will is for us. And help us see others the way that You see them. As creations of Yours. And treat them that way. The way that we want to be treated. The way we are treated by You. That we can share this through ourselves into their lives. So that You may get in there and they may get to know You better. So Father, we ask Your help in this. We ask that during those times of self-reflection, help us really, really go deep in that reflection and that connection to You. We need Your help in this. We need Your leadership and guidance in this. And we thank You for all the stuff that You've already done in this, including giving Your Son as that sacrifice to bring us to You, into that relationship with You. That relationship where there's room for more and more people to come into. Father, we thank You in all this. We praise You. And we ask You to just watch over us, lead us on this path, on this mission, on this journey that You have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.